Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Southeastern Connecticut, Dennis O'Brien here from O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. Hope everybody had a great week. Hey, how about that early snow? It's driving me nuts. My plow guy's come twice already, $55 a pop. His kids are going to have a very good Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever. But in any case, hope everybody's doing well. I know everybody's going to be out there shopping today. Please stay safe. If you got to Amazon it, you go Amazon it, whatever you want to do. We got a very special show today. We have Paul Cadre, who's going to be with us talking about college and how to pay for it, how to apply. And Paul is an expert in this area. He's helped dozens of local kids get into better schools than they would have at a cheaper cost because he is a FAFSA, which is F-A-F-S-A expert, which is coming up any minute now. I just want to go through a few notes before we get into that, and a lot happened this week. My name is Dennis O'Brien, O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, www.obrienretire.com. My phone number today, if you want to talk to me and Paul about college or anything else, is 860-464-9490. So call in if you want to ask us a question. A lot happening this week. Tax bill looks like it's passing. Markets started to surge on Friday. Economy's looking good with retail very strong, pretty strong anyway. Also, without a lot of fanfare, the Fed raised the rates a quarter a point. Watch that very carefully next year in 2018. The 2-year yield and the 10-year gap continues to shrink. When the 2-year goes over the 10-year, watch out. That could be a recession a year, 18 months out, so we got to watch that very closely. My question is, I was talking to my friend Terry. I was 23 when I started in the business in 1980. Terry was 30, so he was like my older brother when I started on Wall Street. I'd go up to Terry and say, hey, Terry, what's this? Terry, what's that? He was great. Well, he called me last night. Now, of course, I'm older, and he's a lot older, too. And he's down in Fort Lauderdale working for one of the big banks running money. So we just got talking about it, and him and I were wondering, does the Fed in D.C. want a recession heading into the 2018 elections? Pay attention. We've both thought that if the 2-year goes over the 10-year, we're going to cut back our stock allocations, and we're worried that they want to cause a recession as we get closer. Oil's been stronger, which is an indicator. The economy around the world's picking up. Rail traffic grew 1.8%, which is very good. And most state receipts, except Connecticut, Illinois, and a few other basket cases, are down. Federal tax receipts are up, which bodes very, very well. And my internal program, VectorVest, shows an underlying strength since the presidential election, which continues unabated. All in all, the markets look good for higher markets, but we still have to watch the Fed next year and whatnot. The Millennium stocks stabilized after a small correction. They look good here. Income stocks, ETFs, with good yield are for the beginners and my seniors. Tactical short-term positions have surged with some profit-taking I've taken recently in the regional banks. I'm still interested in the robotic AI area and whatnot. We have Jennifer from East Lyme calling in with a question. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Hi. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Do you have a question or comment?
I have a specific question. I do.
Sure.
So I am a divorced working mom with 2 children in high school.
Okay.
And I am also engaged. I was going to get married, but stopped when I heard the rumor that if I were to get married, my husband's income would count against me when applying for financial aid. College. Is that true?
Well, that is true, because either the custodian, stepfather, or the biological, whichever parent is with the child more than 6 months, I think it counts, right, Paul?
Good morning. That's a fantastic question. And my answer is going to be that we need to talk on the side, because there's more about your specific situation that would take place. There are 2 specific criteria that are used to evaluate. Every school uses FAFSA, which Dennis mentioned earlier. And some schools, particularly your better schools, will use what's called the CSS profile. And that's done by the College Board. Now, the College Board will absolutely look at anybody who is engaged in any type of relationship or was engaged in a relationship. FAFSA has more flexibility. So it not only depends on your specific situation, but also where your student winds up going to school. And having said that, just two things. I have had parents in the past who have gotten married in December, and it was about the worst thing they could have done. If they had waited to get married in January, it would have made a big difference. Now, you also have to factor in that schools are now looking at taxes 2 years retro. So for students applying for next year, it's 2016. So the question would, when did they get married? And they got married in 2017, it actually wouldn't show up. But it also depends on where your child goes to school. And I've had some parents who have said, I don't want my child looking at a CSS school because my profile is much worse. So I usually put a family through a simulator in both the FAFSA and the CSS.
Hey, Jennifer, Dennis O'Brien here. What you do, if you want more information, Paul's contact information, I'll repeat it during the show again, is 844-711-7337. And if you can't remember that, go to smartambitions.com, okay, smartambitions.com, or contact@smartambitions.com. Just go to his website, and you can email him from there and ask him your specific question. The meter won't be running, right, Paul? They can ask you questions. And if they choose to hire you to help them take you through the process, we can talk about how you would get paid and whatnot. But it's very, very important to do that. Does that help you, Jennifer?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much for the information.
Yeah, and thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, Paul, looks like they're just dying to talk about college. So let's do that. Let's get right into it. And we'll talk about my stuff later in the show and whatnot. I have with me Paul Cadre. He's an expert in college planning. Paul will take you through the process and whatnot. And before we get into it, Paul, just tell me a little bit about your company and what you're trying to achieve here.
Sure. The company is called Smart Ambitions, and it started out primarily helping high school students with the transition from high school to college and career, because really the college is just a first step in their career. And we also can help college students who are thinking about changing majors or ready to enter the job market, or adults who are going to do a career change, or even middle school students who want to know who they are. But the primary responsibility that we're talking about today is high school students who are going to be transitioning to college and career.
Right. So you can help them with planning out, what if they're totally confused about what they want to do in life, you can help them there also.
Absolutely.
Right. And then help the parents with the FAFSA and figure it out how to get the most money from the scholarship side.
So we say that there are three things we work on. First is, where is the student? What is their awareness? Who are they? What are their strengths?
Okay.
The last part is, where do they want to go? What is the career area that motivates them?
All right. On the next set, because we're going to break for commercial real quick here, and then we'll get into it. But once again, our number here is 860-464-9490. We're going to take about a 3 minute, 2 to 3 minute break for commercials. Then we'll come back. And if you have any questions for Paul, just call in. Dennis O'Brien, Retirement Life and Investing. We'll talk to you in a few. Bye-bye. Connecticut, Dennis O'Brien, President of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, www.obrienretired.com. If you want my retirement 10 commandments, go to my site, click the button, and tell me who you are, and I'll send it right off to you in a PowerPoint. Today I have with me Paul Cadre, President of smartambitions.com. Paul's an expert in college planning and everything. Hey, Paul, did you hear about the student who went to his loan officer?
No.
I couldn't believe it. He went up to his loan officer and he said after graduation, thank you for helping me get through college. I don't think I can ever repay you. I like that one. Paul found that one, by the way. We were in our office this morning looking for little, lighthearted comments, and he started giggling like a schoolgirl, and I said, all right, here you go. So anyway, hey, Paul, let's get back to talking about college and what you do and how you do it and whatnot. Now, first of all, you help people get ready, help the kids kind of figure out what college would be the best, but you've got to know what their college major, what they're thinking about, right, to pick the college, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
So if you think that if I could wish anything on a student and their family, it would be to have the best information possible as they're making this decision.
Right.
So we obviously don't make any decisions for the family or for the student, but if you give the best information to the student, they will usually thrive and make the best decisions.
Right.
So we have, we use assessments, proven assessments to help the student understand their strengths.
Right.
Because a lot of students are influenced by things like TV or their friends when they really should be influenced by their core strengths.
Right.
And then we have a way of helping students look at all the careers that exist within the American dream and helping to find their career area, not a specific career, but the place where their strengths are. And
right.
You can't imagine how many students will have grades go up in high school and be completely motivated because they can see their future.
Right, because now they're talking to someone who has actually figured out something they actually love to do, and all of a sudden you caught them, and their QM goes from 2.3 to 3.8 because they're on fire.
Can I tell you a very quick story?
Yeah, go ahead, absolutely.
We had a student who was floundering in high school, and found what she wanted to do in the future. Again, a career area, not a specific career. And all of a sudden, her grade shot up to where I had to talk to the mother and can really allow the mother to see that her student was not only going to graduate from high school, but probably would move on to her doctorate. And the mother just called me from college, first year college, saying she can't believe how great the student's grades are. And her ACT, the standardized test score, was so high, they actually investigated her because they didn't think anybody could achieve so quickly.
You gotta love that, you know? You gotta.
And she's the greatest person.
Greatest person in the world. So when you go through that process now, does it cost a lot of money to do this? Is it expensive?
No. In the past, there have been boutique firms who will help a student usually try to get into an Ivy League school or so forth. Having been in education for so long, it just saddened me to see either families that were spending way too much money than they needed to for college, or a lot of students who weren't going to college because they didn't think they had what they wanted to major in and so forth.
Right.
So I wanted to make sure that we priced our program so that any student could take advantage of it.
Okay.
We're scaled more for volume than we are for profit.
All right. So you charge 12 payments, right? How much?
12 payments for $165, and that is for the full component where we will meet face-to-face with the student and the family as much as necessary.
So that'll be through junior, senior year, or beginning of senior year through a little bit of college?
That's actually a great question. The financial aid aspect of this is ideal if we start speaking with families in the freshman or beginning of sophomore year.
Right.
The actual having the student look at careers, majors, colleges, the best time to begin would be second semester sophomore year. Obviously, we will meet with anyone at any time to help them. But if you ask for the ideals, because financial aid is evaluated 2 years' taxes prior, that means it is the tax year.
You need to start planning.
Right. Half of sophomore year, half of junior year.
Yeah, you need to start planning very, very early. So what you do out there, if you want to talk to Paul, we have a special offer for the radio, too. You go to smartambitions.com, email them, tell them your situation, okay? It'd be 12 payments for $165 a month, and then you own Paul. You can bug him for years, okay? And if you mention the radio show, he'll take off the last month, okay? And I didn't ask for that. He said he would do that. So instead of, a lot of these companies will charge you $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 up front, write the check, and then maybe you get help, maybe you don't. Paul has done this very cleverly to help every family, all right, try to get the aid and help they need, because in the schools, there's a lot of help for you. They do a wonderful job, the guidance counselors, but they're overworked. And so sometimes they need help and whatnot. So it's a wonderful thing to do. Now, let's talk about the financial aid part of it, okay? Because that's, come on, college. Mm-hmm. College has gotten so expensive. It's absolutely ridiculous. Forbes had an article last year on college. They talked about why college is so expensive. And basically they said the reason is it's not because of the professors, because now they're hiring a lot of abject professors. They don't pay them, right? It's not because the buildings mainly are donated. It's because of administration. We are paying three times more than we should for college because they have layered administration on. Do you agree with that?
I agree mostly, and I can probably add to that. because I actually, my university, Johns Hopkins, I was privileged enough to be on the Dean's National Advisory Board, so I saw the inside workings of the finances of a college. And when the push came to lower the cost of education, schools were not going to cut professor salaries because professors basically control universities for the most part.
Right.
So what they did was they went to their rich benefactors, their alumni, and they asked for money for financial aid.
Right.
And so what happened was they didn't lower the cost. They may even have raised the cost, but then they lower the cost through financial aid.
Right.
So unless a family knows which schools have the money and how to tap into that money, it goes unrealized. But right. If you can figure that out, then all of a sudden college costs will go down, but there's a game to it, a twist, and every college can be operate differently.
They game it a little bit differently.
Absolutely.
And you have to know how to cater to it. That's why you need a secret weapon, people out there. If you have a grandchild or child that's freshman, sophomore, and they are academic, okay, then, and not every kid's academic, by the way, right, Paul? Some kids have other gifts, and whatever gifts they have, that's great. But if they're academic and you see them going that way, there's you can get huge help from someone like Paul, who's your secret weapon in terms of structuring that FAFSA application, right?
Do we have time for another quick
Yeah.
Great. The first family actually that I dealt with, a single mom with a daughter from the area, about 60 to 80,000 of income. And we're looking at two schools academically comparable in another state. And one was 61,000 a year total cost and the other was 45,000. And the mother didn't even want to look at the $61,000 school. When I ran the numbers in the simulator, it showed that for this family, the $61,000 school would be $13,000 a year, assuming no debt at the end. And the $45,000 school was going to be $35,000 a year, assuming no debt at the end. So the more expensive school was by far the cheaper school. And that was because they had a large, rich alumni base and had more aid to give the students.
Now, did you run that simulator before or after they were admitted?
Before. We always run the simulator before, and when we get the other criteria that a student is looking for, and we know what their major is, I give the student a list of schools that not only meet what they're looking for, but also will pay the most money.
Did you hear that, people? I mean, that's a huge, huge advantage. For $165 a month for 11 months, you have this huge advantage. It could wind up saving you tens of thousands of dollars a year. Now, that doesn't happen in every case, right, Paul? Just from helping the kid get motivated and find the area of interest they like, it's worth it.
It doesn't happen for everyone, but I will say it happens for most.
Yeah.
And even a family that, if they're relatively wealthy, but they have two children right next to each other going to school, there are some things that could be done to help save money. Mm-hmm. And there was a family, 2 weeks ago that we just helped reposition a couple of their assets before filing, and we were able to save them $12,000 per year for 4 years.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Because probably the biggest argument I have with clients and prospects is college. I mean, they and I'll tell you why. See, to me, college, it's not that it's a racket, although I've had some of my old-timers in town tell me it's such a racket these days, because the expense. There's a lot of resentment toward the expense. But the biggest argument is I always tell people, a 17-year-old brain isn't fully formed. So you're clipping coupons down at the big Y, and you're letting a 17-year-old make a $50,000 decision without talking about your finances or what's going on. So having an outside agent like Paul kind of bringing everybody together and talking about these and facilitating. Plus, a lot of times kids at that age, they're kind of still rebellious. they might not like you very much right at that age, right?
Well, the way we structure it is I am the coach for the student. I am there to help them be successful. And that allows the parent to be the advocate and the person who isn't pushing the student, but is part of the process and actively involved. And you will find that students will then take ownership of the costs of education when it doesn't become something that is necessarily coming down from the parent. I am saying we want to make sure we're as frugal as possible, because why would we want to give up money that you could use later in life or your family could use?
Yeah, and in these endowments, you know, I read a lot of their annual reports, Harvard, Yale, just to see what they're doing on the investment side. And some of these endowments at schools you never heard of are huge relative to the size of the school, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Any examples of schools with big endowments that people might not know, realize?
Well, let me just say that I'll ask you a trick question. What are the, if you qualify for financial aid, what are the cheapest schools in Connecticut?
I don't know. The state schools, Paul?
No. Yale and Connecticut College. Those two schools are the schools in Connecticut that give 100% of need, and I won't go into what that means, but what it means is if you qualify for financial aid, whatever...
If you can get in.
If you get in, and whatever the formula says is your minimum family contribution, then they will pick up the rest.
Yeah.
So if you gave up going to Yale to go to a state school, you're actually paying more money if you qualify for aid.
All right, Paul, but when they look at your finances before they do they have your finances before they make the academic decision whether to let you in?
No, the financial aid offices and the admissions offices are separate. The schools would never want to be possibly accused of any type of discrimination in terms of hiring. So those offices are pretty separate.
All right.
Now, admissions offices – give away scholarship money.
Okay.
Whereas financial aid offices give the need base.
They do on a need base. Okay. My name is Dennis O'Brien, O'Brien Retirement. O'BrienRetired.com. I'm talking to Paul Cadre, SmartAmbitions.com. Go to Paul's site, talk to him, learn as much as you can, and if you decide to hire him on, go for it. But we'll be right back at the break. Thank you. Eastern Connecticut, Eastern Long Island, I think. I had somebody come in the office the other day from Haddam that heard me on the radio. Thank you guys so much for coming in. And it's been a very, very busy week at O'BrienRetired.com. I have Paul Cadre with me from SmartAmbitions.com. Go to his website if you need help with college and everything. Hey, Paul. Are you there?
I am here.
All right. Hey, did you hear about the lawyer who recently got arrested for embezzling $100,000 to pay for his college education?
Please tell me.
Well, as the policeman who had also had a daughter in college was leading him away in handcuffs, he turned to the lawyer and said, I have one question for you. Where are you going to get the rest of the money? That's so bad. That's dark humor. All my lawyer friends out there, it originally said banker, but I just wanted to have fun with it and whatnot. All right. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking about college with Paul Cadre. He's president of SmartAmbitions.com. You can contact him 844-711-7337 during the week, or contact@SmartAmbitions.com is his email. My name is Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement. We are talking college. Now let's talk to another aspect of it. I read these polls and they talk about how high school kids and college kids, but let's talk about high school kids, are stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
They're absolutely stressed out. And we hear about opioids and we hear about whatever, okay? But a lot of kids, I think, just from the stress and the parents and college. When I was going to college in the mid-70s, SUNY was like $2,000 a year, okay? And then if you wanted to go to Hartwick, which was in Oneonta, New York, it was $10,000 a year, okay? But I was able to work all summer at a restaurant, and my tips covered college plus beer. And then when I became an RA, I thought I hit the mother lode because they were paying, for room and part of board. I forget the deal, whatever it was. But now when the numbers get real, and we're talking $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year, and the average folks out there are looking going, I can't even save for this because I there's no way I could do this and whatnot. So their stress level rises. And then the kid comes home. He says, well, Johnny's going to this school and Betty's going to that school. And the stress level just rises and rises because, you know, and the PTA and they're all talking about where they're going to go to school and everything else. Paul, is that an issue? Is that something that you see and you can help with?
Absolutely. One of our primary goals in the beginning was to figure out how to lower the stress level for students and families throughout this entire process.
Right.
And there are a couple of areas to do that. First, let me just say that I've spoken with numerous family counselors who all say that the stress level for a student in the high, in the college search process is the number one area that they face as a family counselor.
Really?
Yeah,
that's the thing that just freaks everybody out.
Disproportionately causes stress within the process. So that what causes the stress? Well, part of it is the lack of good information.
Right.
That a student will get information from their friends, their parents, the internet, TV shows, whatever. A lot of it unreliable sources in terms of not talking about the specific skills of that student.
Right.
But also a student, as you mentioned, now has the financial pressure of whatever I'm going to do is going to have a lasting effect on me
and my parents.
Right. I may have the guilt of my family not being able to retire because I went to college.
Right.
So, what can we do to lower the stress? Well, we can give them really good information, but there's also comprehensive information. A student will feel better if they know that they have looked at everything.
Right.
And that they have made a determination based on all information so that even if they made a decision, they're not looking over their shoulder backwards saying, I wonder if there was a better decision to be made.
Right. And their parents, because they're in the process too, lower the stress on the student because that's where their stress is coming from too.
And so what we find is around, I would say, the November, December timeframe is when students who aren't going through the process will begin to start influencing the students we're working with, and they'll come in and say, well, my friend said that I should be doing this, 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 and this. And we'll say, listen, you're on a plan, a process, stay with it,
right.
And do not listen to the noise on the side. These are people who haven't gone through the formula and the methodology and understanding themselves and so forth. And when they weather the storm and they start getting their acceptances – then all of a sudden they realize and they become a stress for their friends.
Right.
Who are seeing them have success.
Right. Because in the normal world, when you grow up, you really don't talk about personal stuff at the workplace. But kids, that's all they do.
If I'm a student,
it's also media too, right?
If I'm a student who's stressed, I want you stressed too because that makes me feel better.
some odd, bizarre way, but and we know people as adults that are that way too.
Right.
We call them drama, you know.
But I actually have to watch out for is if we work with a student that clicks so quickly, sometimes the silence while everybody else is losing their head will actually cause them stress.
Well, we're not trying to get rid of your stress, but a way to deal with it. I mean, those are skills that pay off later in life, I'm sure. So,
can I give you just a couple of percentages?
Absolutely.
Over 80% of the students last year got into their first choice school. And 60% of them got into every school they applied for. And on average, they only applied to about 4.5 schools.
Right.
And you may say, well, that's terrible. They only applied for 4.5 schools. But we were so precise in the schools that fit with them. And the number one thing that a school admissions office looks for in a student, beyond extracurriculars or SAT scores or so forth, is, I mean, you have to have a minimum academic achievement to be that school. But is the student aware of what they want in life? Have they determined that we offer it as a school, and have they made that connection?
And do they love us?
And because a student who knows what they want and has tied it to the school will probably not drop out, will probably not change majors, will probably be a very happy alumni who will give in the future, and that's what a school's looking for.
That's what the school's working for, because there's a lot more work when they're unhappy.
Right.
Because you got parents unhappy, and the economic, the cost of the schools are so much.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just, It's just incredible how much school is now, and it doesn't show any signs of abating, does it?
No, and the one cost that a lot of parents don't even consider is the cost if your child changes a major or changes schools in any way delays their four-year process. And the average time in school is well over 4 years.
Now, what percentage of kids actually go to the same school they went to freshman year and graduated in 4 years?
I believe the number is 30% does not make it to sophomore year.
Doesn't make it to sophomore
year. Now, no family really sees their child as going to be doing that.
Right.
But they will maybe see their child as changing majors or changing schools. And, if that happens, you're talking about, possibly a $30,000 to $40,000 cost.
Extra.
And financial aid doesn't last, for a 6-year college plan.
No.
So it's a very expensive.
It's a very, very expensive.
That we tried to avoid.
Yeah. So, these decisions are critical for you. Paul can help you at smartambitions.com. Call him during the week at 844-711-7337. And he can help you get the process going. It's only $165 a month. If you mention the radio show, he'll take 1 month off. He'll take off the last month. So.
And we had a student who 2 years ago who was not in the right program socially at the school.
Right.
And decided to leave. But because he remembered the skills that we went through, which will help him in any transition going forward in life, he didn't panic.
Yep.
He went through the same process, identified where he wanted to go,
yep.
And his parents couldn't believe how seamless it was.
Wow. That to me is fantastic because we're always learning. We never stop learning, no matter how old we are. And someone who picked up those skills is ahead of 90% of the kids out there in terms of being able to problem solve and not panic and cool under pressure.
I know. If you think about it, why wouldn't we want all of our kids to have this going forward and retain it as they become college graduates and then adults in the workplace?
Wow, that's absolutely fantastic, And I think it's amazing, So my name's Dennis O'Brien. I'm president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, OBrienRetire.com. Right now we have Michael from Mystic. Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Good. Did you have a question for Paul on college?
Well, yeah, I wanted to mention, I haven't heard discussion about the college-level exam program or the CLEPS, because both my children went to private school in Rhode Island, the other one went to one in Connecticut, and
right.
The tuition was, over $50,000 apiece. And I tried to get into CLEPS, they said they didn't want to, but end of the sophomore year, you take an hour and a half exam, you get 3 or 6 credits. It can knock off a big chunk of your tuition bill because you can.
Great question. So
and
after you were in school, right?
Yeah, correct. You can even do when you're in high school. When I went to college, I probably clept more than half of my associate degree requirements, and then I rolled into my, my bachelor's and I got my master's. But that saved a lot of money.
In
some schools, you can find what CLEPS equal the courses on the campus on the website. Some aren't so much, and you have to ask your academic advisor. I need to try to entice my kids. You take a CLEPS test while you're in high school, whatever. I'll give you $100 if you pass it because
I like the way you think. Michael. I did the same thing. I had 12 credits when I got to Oneonta. And you know why? Because I did a community college bridge program my senior year, and I took advanced placement, and I got 3 credits for history and poli-sci. So, Michael, you're right. I didn't think of that.
And the college bring that up because then that's less money that they're getting. But if you can just ask your advisor or whatever. I kind of lucked out. I got my associates and my CLEPS. Then when I applied for my bachelor's, they knocked off my core requirements with my associate's degree, but then they said, let's see if you have any CLEP. So they did the CLEP transcripts. They kind of got some double dip in action where I got a little bit of CLEP credit, even though there was already encompassed in my associate's degree.
Yeah.
I kind of lucked out and saved some courses that way.
How old are you now, Michael?
I'm 50.
You're 50? Well,
both my children are finally, out of college, and I basically, paid a lot out of pocket to get them through college. I didn't want them to have, massive debt. But their junior and senior year, they each took out the Stafford loan just to get some skin in the game. So it worked out. It worked out well, and we have a lot of friends that their kids have, $90,000 in debt, whatever, because of all the college.
What are they doing now? How are your kids doing now?
Oh, good.
Yep.
Good, and they're almost done paying off their Stafford loans too. So,
wow, that's fantastic. That's
fantastic. Working well. So,
yeah.
People say, "What are you going to get them for?" You know, graduating college. They have out of college, very, very little debt. That was
okay. Michael, we're going to hang up on you and let Paul talk about what you were talking about.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling.
All right, no problem.
Hey, bye-bye. Paul, you want to talk about CLEP or
sure.
advanced credits?
Well, yeah, absolutely. The so when we look at finances, there are three areas. The first is how do we lower the family cost?
Right.
Now, what was just mentioned is one way to do that. Now, it works for some students. It works for some families. It may not for others, depending on what the student wants to go into.
Right.
But there are numerous, I don't want to say, numerous avenues that should be looked at.
Right.
And so when this is why this type of discussion couldn't be done on a how-to book. It really needs to be a kind of a coaching module.
Yeah. Yeah. Because every situation is so different. Some families,
right.
the backgrounds and whatnot stuff.
And I run a simulator that can identify possible areas where there may be some places, like if there's not a lot of money to save in that area, we shouldn't look at it. But if there is, then we'll look at some of the avenues that we
right.
could approach.
And if you got a particularly bright kid, you'd say, hey, listen, take these advanced placement courses
right.
and let's get some extra credits.
And also the sequence of children within the family can make a difference.
Oh, that's
now,
right.
Not that I'm advocating for anybody to have students right after each other, but
yeah.
That
decision was long gone.
I was going to say, if you did that 16
that
years
train
ago,
left the station, buddy.
That's right. I don't know what the rules are going to be in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're going to come back. We have one more segment with Paul, and we're going to talk about it. Michael from Mystic, thank you very, very much for that question, because with the light, I could see Paul's light bulb in his head. Well, yeah, he does have a little, the light bulb went off in his head because I could see him go, oh, yes, yes, we didn't talk about that. So, Michael, thank you very much. That was a superb question. I'm with Paul Cadre. He's president of smartambitions.com. Go to his website. If you need some coaching help, he'll be able to help you. His phone number during the week is 844-711-7337. We'll be right back. Dennis O'Brien, Retirement, Life, and Investing. Eastern Connecticut, Dennis O'Brien, President of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. Thanks for listening in. The name of the show is Retirement Life and Investing. We're with Paul Cadre, President of SmartAmbitions.com. Paul helps you, coaches your child and yourself through the college admissions process, trying to identify what programs that your child would be interested in, getting them motivated, and helping you cut the cost of the application and whatnot. Paul, let's be real. A lot of these really selective schools, okay, by the time they give out the athletic slots and the legacy slots to Winthrop III, whose father gave $10 million for a building, okay, these really selective schools, and then they give, you know, their little feel-good scholarships, how much room is really left for the normal, you know, middle-class kid from Groton, Connecticut that's applying to school? You know, let's be real. Is it less than, you know, 30%, or what's the deal?
Well, the first question is, how likely is, or how many slots are available for the student to get in? And the second is, how much money is available? Now, for your top schools, money typically isn't an issue.
Right.
Most top schools give 100% of need.
Right.
Now, your Ivy League schools are actually all need-based. So understand there is need-based, which means it's based on your income and your
right.
assets.
Right.
And then there's merit-based, which means it's based off the student's academic, typically, you know, prowess and
yeah.
so forth. So it is there are so many schools out there, and we live in the mecca of schools. You know, in the northeast of
right.
Massachusetts alone has more schools than – you know, to do with. So we will find the right school for a student. And it really is driven by what I said before. If a student understands what they're interested in and motivated in, ties to their skills,
right.
and we find a school that's going to give good money for the student and the family.
And we communicate to the school the process we did and why the student's interested
Absolutely.
In school. They become very interested in actually recruiting that student.
Right. So I can't guarantee that any one school, because it is somewhat like a dating experience, that I can't guarantee that they're each going to be in love with each other.
Yeah.
But if I get three in a room, you know, three or four different potential dates, I'm almost positive that one of them is going to...
Is
going to
bite.
Absolutely.
I really
want them. So a student who doesn't, no matter where the student is on the academic scale, a student who doesn't think that they can go to school probably isn't thinking correctly.
Right.
I've yet to find a student who didn't fit in somewhere and wasn't motivated to be able to go.
Right, right. So if you're motivated, get the help, expertise you need, and then Paul will help you take you through the process, both holistically and financially.
Right, and we help with that motivation by helping them see their future.
Yeah, yeah. And my friend Michelle, she went through the process with you, and Michelle raved about the job you did helping, because at the time, her and her child, you know, they were kind of going at it, the teenage mother, you know, thing and whatnot. And it was, she said she couldn't believe the turnaround, because having that third party in there helping and just wanted to help really turned the child around.
There's a student very much wants to talk to someone who cares about their future. And any student I talk to certainly understands that I want them hugely successful in life.
Right.
That's my passion. And their passion is for to be able to succeed.
Right.
So I'm able to say things to them, such as a student came in saying they wanted to be a lawyer. And I looked at their assessment and I said, listen, I have to tell you, your core strengths aren't to be a lawyer. And I said, you can be a lawyer if you want, but you're going to have to work harder than someone whose strengths are there. And he whispered to me and he said, I really want to be a psychologist. But that's not a manly position. And I said, what are you talking about? And I talked about Sigmund Freud and so forth. And I said, I said, absolutely. And that's what your strengths are.
Yeah. It showed up on his assessment.
Now, had he gone down the lawyer path, let's hope he would have figured out right away. But if he hadn't, I can't even imagine what his life would be.
Yeah, and you know, he's trying to please, maybe it sounds more prestigious or the social
norm.
The TV
shows.
Yeah.
Make it glamorous.
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, you know, I have clients who are psychologists and they do extremely well and they're pretty well-rounded. And there's pretty much nothing they haven't heard either, you know.
Dennis, if I could say that one of the things that frustrates me is that if you ask, what is the goal of this process? A lot of people will say it's to get into a good school. And I put that in quotes.
Right.
That's not the goal.
No.
The goal is to figure out what motivates the student in the future.
Right.
And then that backs into a school that opens doors in the future.
Right.
Just going to a good school, college should not be where you are figuring out what you want to do. College is where you're developing as a person and fine-tuning your interests.
Right.
We hope that a student goes to college knowing what area they want to go to, not precisely what they want to be, but if I'm going to go into medicine, I probably don't want to be going into law.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and we've met people waiting tables at 30 that went to, you know, the parents shelled out $150,000 to a fancy school in Boston. And it's not, they're great kids, they're great young people, they're not kids anymore, but they never got that assessment done. They never figured out what lit them on fire. I love getting up in the morning and going to work.
Right.
I have appointments on Saturday and Sunday. I love going to work because I love what I do. And when you're on fire like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I got in an argument with a friend of mine, one of my best friends from high school, who's with his kids. He believed in the throw them in the deep end of the pool and they'll either figure out how to swim or they'll drown.
Right.
That it was good for building character.
Yeah.
I can't disagree more with that.
No.
That what should distinguish a kid is their hard work ethic and their academic achievement.
Right.
The knowledge of what exists out there and coaching to help them figure things out should be a standard.
Exactly.
And let them work hard. Let them develop that as the distinguishing factor, not whether they figure out how to get information that is readily available.
They don't have the skills yet for that.
Absolutely.
And I totally disagree. And when college was $2,000 or $3,000 a year, yeah, all right, fine, that's fine. But now when it's $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year for the private side and $20,000 or $30,000 for the public side, that's nuts. That's absolutely, the kid's better off working for a couple of years and growing up than going off and blowing that just because they want to keep up with say something nice to everybody in their senior class.
I'll end your show with something radical, if you want.
Go for it, Paul.
If you asked me to make one move to reform public education in our country, I would say that high schools were going to be responsible for whether or not a child went into their sophomore year of college.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you did that, then colleges and high schools would have to talk more, and you'd have to track your kids after graduation. Right now, high schools, to no fault of their own, are responsible for graduation rates and test scores.
Yeah.
And so if you did that, you close that gap. Right now, a gap exists between the two, and that's what we try to fill.
All right, thank you very much, Paul, for coming on. I had Paul Cadre, president of SmartAmbitions.com. Go to his site, give him a call, email him. And let them know that you'd like to start a conversation with them. My name's Dennis O'Brien, President O'BrienRetire.com. Go to my website. I'll send you the Retirement Ten Commandments. Hit the button if you'd like an appointment just to talk. The meter's never running. Come in and chat. Nice talking to everybody. Hope you have a great weekend. Don't spend too much money. Take care. Bye.
Bye.